Please join me in prayer. Guiding God, without the presence of your Holy Spirit, we are hopelessly lost on this journey. So come to us as we gather to hear your word. Open our hearts to receive your word and open our minds to understand it. For we pray in the name of the living Christ. Amen. On this last Tuesday, the New Providence staff met in person for the first time in 15 months. It was so nice to see faces in person across a table instead of across a Zoom screen. Rather than diving right into church business, I asked if we could just check in with one another. How are you doing, and how have you weathered the last year plus? Since it was my question, it was only fair that I go first, and so I told the truth, that I've felt the same anxiety and waves of depression that everyone else has. This year has been hard on all of us. And as we went around the table, I heard the details of that: losing loved ones, cancer diagnoses, caring for aging parents and family members, loneliness, and then throw the isolation and fear of a global pandemic on top of all that. It's been a lot. And so today seems like the right time to hear Psalm 22, one of the Psalms of Lament. Loudon mentioned last week that for these 5 weeks, we'll be working through different types of Psalms. Most scholars agree that there are 4 or 5 different categories. Royal Psalms, one of which Loudon preached on last week, Psalm 72. Today we'll hear the very familiar Psalm 22, one of the Psalms of Lament. In coming weeks, we'll focus on Psalms of Thanksgiving, a Psalm of Wisdom or Trust, and a Psalm of Creation. The Psalms, as you know, were the songbook of the Hebrew Bible, essentially the hymnal of the Israelites. A psalm is simply a song, and the Book of Psalms, or the Psalter as it's sometimes called, is a collection of 150 individual songs. I've printed the text of this psalm in the bulletin for you. If you're looking at it, you'll see an inscription at the top that says, "To the leader, according to the deer of the dawn, a psalm of David." Those are instructions for the choir director. The Deer of the Dawn was probably the name of a familiar musical tune that the people would know, the same way we know Ode to Joy or Now Thank We All Our God. Calling it a Psalm of David doesn't necessarily mean that it was authored by David, but rather that it's associated with the tradition that David was a songwriter. Psalms of Lament always follow a certain pattern. There is an address to God, followed by a description of the complaint or grievance, a plea to God for deliverance, and then laments always end with an expression of thanksgiving and confidence in God. That confidence is not necessarily based on present circumstances, but on God's prior track record of having been faithful in the past, which offers hope for the future. As I read this, I'll interject those headings so you can see exactly how it is laid out, and I invite you to follow along. First is the address to God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Now comes the description of the complaint or the grievance. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let God deliver and rescue the one in whom God delights. Yet it was you who took me from my mother's womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs are all around me. A company of evildoers encircles me. My hands and feet have shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves. And for my clothing, they cast lots. Now here comes the plea for God's help. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. Oh, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. From the horns of the wild oxen, you have rescued me. And now here comes the invitation to join in the praise of God. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the middle of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise the Lord. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify God. Stand in awe of God, all you offspring of Israel. For you did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. You did not hide your face from me, but heard when I cried to you. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear you. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek you shall praise the Lord. May their hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For dominion belongs to you, and you rule over the nations. To you indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before you shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for you. Posterity will serve you. Future generations will be told about you, and proclaim your deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that you have done this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My God, why have you forsaken me? We hear those words every year during Holy Week. According to at least two of the gospel writers, they are the last words Jesus spoke from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And honestly, that felt like the subtext of what was said around the table at Tuesday's staff meeting. And I hope you feel just as comfortable uttering those words about your own life, even here in the sanctuary. Kathleen O'Connor, a brilliant Old Testament scholar, now retired from Columbia Seminary, says she believes there are few places in the church where we can truly feel sorrow loss and hopelessness, because many of us still struggle with the relationship between lament and faith. For whatever reason, we have this sense that when we enter the doors of the church, we have to push down any sense of anger or doubt or not having it all together. We feel as if we have to put on a good church face that pretends we are full of only joy and praise and sweetness and light. According to almost a third of the Psalms, nothing could be further from the truth. Laments take up a huge chunk of the book of Psalms, 42 or so of them, almost one third of the total. The Psalms of lament, of which Psalm 22 is one, are by far the most common, which should tell us something. And I get that because at some point, almost everyone has a year like the last one has been for most of us. Anxiety drizzled with depression and a sprig of grief, a big dollop of fear on the side. Listen, if you're one of those people who honestly never struggles, for whom every single day is a good day and a reason to exude praise and gratitude, good for you. I'm delighted, and I look forward to getting to know you, because I can't imagine that we've met so far. Every single one of the best people I know, at least the most honest people I know, has had the slats knocked out from under them at some point or another. Maybe it's the loss of a relationship, the loss of a job, the loss of a dream. If you're plugging along more or less without incident, good for you. But I hope you'll listen anyway, because sometimes worlds fall apart one piece at a time. Lives blow up, but they also burn up. And when you're in the midst of it, it's nearly impossible to see the big picture. Sometimes we feel like the serviceman in the 6-month-long World War II Battle of Guadalcanal, who sent a letter to his father in the States and said, "Write back and tell me who's winning." Because in the midst of trouble, we lose perspective. And that's where the Psalms of Lament can help. Now, it's hard to pinpoint dates of biblical writings, particularly in the Old Testament. But scholars say with relative certainty that Psalm 22 was written within 20 years of the exiles returning from Babylon, before the reconstruction of the temple that the Babylonian army had destroyed. So imagine it. They make the long journey home only to discover that home is a pile of rubble. All their dreams of the future are dashed. Forsaken is exactly what the Israelites feel, like God has abandoned them. But thankfully, the Israelites have a long history and a long memory. This is not their first rodeo. They've heard the stories of slavery in Egypt and God rescuing them at the Red Sea. They remember the wilderness before they finally crossed into the Promised Land. And so when they cry, my God, why have you forsaken me?" they know that's not the end of the story. Just as God has been faithful with their past, so too God can be trusted with their future. Not that it squelches their lament, and that's a good thing. Walter Brueggemann says, "Lament reminds us that God matters in every dimension of life, not just the good parts." In other words, he says, when God must only be praised all the time, prayer becomes a lie and a cover. Agonizing as it sounds, lament puts us in good company. When the child dies, when the relationship dissolves, when the dreams are shattered, when God seems silent, or even worse, when God seems absent. then there is one who has been there before, one who walks these steps with us. Elie Wiesel, the Jewish author and Holocaust survivor, tells about an incident from his days in the Nazi camp at Auschwitz, what he referred to as the kingdom of the night. Inside the kingdom of the night, he writes, I witnessed a strange trial. Three rabbis, all erudite and pious men, decided one winter evening to indict God for having allowed God's children to be massacred. It was an awesome conclave, he said, particularly in view of the fact that it was held in a concentration camp. But what happened next is more awesome still. After the trial at which God had been found guilty as charged, one of the rabbis looked at his watch and said, Ah, it is time for prayers. And with that, all three rabbis, erudite and pious men, bowed their heads and prayed to the God they had just found guilty of being absent. Hurt, forsaken, frightened, alone. When all we can say is, Where are you, God? Remember that Jesus said it first. When we pretend that everything is okay and deny that we feel broken or hurt or in pain, when we push that stuff down, we close off a part of ourselves. And when we close off those parts of ourselves in worship or in the community of faith, then we unintentionally close off those parts from God as well. My God, why have you forsaken me? The Israelites know that's not the end of the story. And when they hear Jesus say it from the cross, they also know the rest of the psalm. You did not hide your face from me, but heard me when I cried. I shall live for you. They know it's not an ending. It's just one more beginning. Just as God has been faithful with the past, so too God can be trusted with the future. May God give us the same hope. Amen.